The Lord's Prayer, Explored and Applied. The heart of an address given at St. Andrew's Norwich and St. Andrew's Eton. Hush, hush, whisper, who dares? Christopher Robin is saying his prayers. God bless Mummy, I know that's right. Ah, but how do you pray? Are your words as delightful as A.A. Milne's? Are they pleasing words, good to be overheard, worthy to be set to music and sung by Gracie Fields? A.A. Milne's son, Christopher, suffered merciless ragging at school because his father penned those famous words. How do you pray? Do you pray professionally, like A.A. Milne? He had his reward. The royalties, of course, came flooding in, as they did for Gracie Fields. And, of course, the rewards came flooding in for the recording company and the publishers. Do you pray publicly? Do you pray impressively, like the Pharisees? Did you hear Rabbi Samuel this morning? Wow! His words were so lofty. His concepts almost divine. He had his reward, the admiration of all. Or do you pray secretly? Fundamentally, is it business with those around you, or is it business with God? What prayers does God delight to hear? What cries will he answer? How should we pray? Negatively, the Lord Jesus warned that we should not pray like the Pharisees, long, public, often self-congratulatory prayers, really for the approval of a human audience. Does that mean we should never pray with others? No, because the prayers of others can be a great help, a ladder to heaven. But beware, beware especially if you get good at it. Positively, the Lord Jesus taught that prayer is essentially between the Lord God and yourself. Therefore, pray alone, where you can be undistracted, uninterrupted. Maybe in your closet, but maybe out on the hills, as our Lord himself prayed. And to pray from the heart, to make it business with God. Did our Lord give us any patterns? Well, he certainly gave us two. First of all, the publican and the tax gatherer, the publican praying for the hearing of others and to congratulate himself, and the tax gatherer praying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, a cry from the heart. Pray like that. That man, said our Lord Jesus, went to his home justified, right with God. He also, of course, gave us the Lord's Prayer. And I want to show how the Lord's Prayer can be applied to a particular situation or a particular person. The Bible urges us to pray for those in high public office. So we ought to pray, for example, for the Archbishop of Canterbury. How should we pray for the Archbishop? Lord God bless the Archbishop of Canterbury. I know that's right. Yes, but look, our Lord has taught us to do better. Heavenly Father, we pray for Archbishop Justin, that you would cause your holy name to be honoured through his public speaking, writing, interviews with the media, and through his whole approach and manner of life. That in his time as Archbishop, you would cause your kingdom to flourish. That in and through all the difficult decisions of a divided church with its warring parties and political intrigues, your will might be sincerely sought and done. That there might be a touch of heaven about Archbishop Justin's leadership and ministry, and so on, following the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. Or again, how do you pray for this church? What is your longing for it? Well, it might be, Lord bless St. Andrew's. I know that's right. It is. Or it might be, Lord God, fill this church with nice people like ourselves. Or it might be, Lord God, cause the powers that be to halve the amount we have to pay to central funds. Or it might be, Lord God, stir other people to give generously. But what would the Lord God's priorities be for St. Andrew's in Norwich, the most atheistic city in the country? Well, of course, that his name might be honoured in and through this church, that his kingdom might come in and through this church, that his will might be done here amongst this people. So surely that's the way to pray. And I want to show you how the Lord's Prayer works itself out in just this kind of situation. Our Father in heaven, now the church is a mixed company. We welcome those who believe, and we also welcome those who are yet to believe. The contacts we have, we long to be able to bring in our friends and neighbours, those who are interested in Christian things. But for those who believe, what should be our longing, our passion? Well, surely it is that the Lord's name may be honoured in all that we do, through our singing, through our prayers, through the talks, through our conversations after the service and out and about in the city. That in and through this church, this company of God's people, the Lord's name might be held high in Norwich. Now, you can struggle and do your best and wear yourself to a frazzle, but as the old hymn puts it, all we can do is nothing worth unless God blesses the deed. Therefore pray, Lord God, cause your holy name to be honoured. This should be our longing, our passion, and our determination. And then, thy kingdom come, that the company of Christian folk here might be a microcosm, a foretaste, a little model of the kingdom of heaven, so outsiders and visitors are aware of a real work of God going on in this place and amongst this people. Lord God, cause us to be an expression, a foretaste of the kingdom of heaven. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done, decisions, resolutions, church wardens, church meetings. Now, church business meetings typically include strong and independently minded people. How are they going to work together? Mr. X is a visionary. I suggest we sell this site and build afresh, but this is no longer fit for purpose. He's a visionary, and beware, because he will have another vision next week or the week after, so pray for discernment. On the other hand, Mrs. Y is a strong personality with a particular agenda, namely, that nothing shall change. And Mr. Z has equally strongly held opinions, but different ones. And of course there will be people who are leaders in society who are used to their word being put into effect straight away without question. How dare you discuss what I've just said? Well, how can such a group work together? And the answer, of course, is only by the grace of God. Only by seeking, Lord God, what is your will for this company of people, this church, at this time? It's so very easy, you see, to leave our Christianity at the door as we come to a church business meeting. So pray for church business meetings. Lord God, your will be done in and through this meeting, as it's done in heaven. Pray for a touch of heaven about church business meetings. Your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. All that is necessary. What is necessary for a church? Well, of course, we need to keep the people warm and dry and safe. We need to enable them to hear what's going on. We need to keep things in good order, of course. But what else? May I suggest that the essential ingredient for any true church is the hand of God, the blessing of God, the Holy Spirit of God moving amongst the people. Yet many churches are very smoothly and efficiently run and don't actually seem to need God at all. Oh, they sing his praises, pray his prayers, speak in his name, but somehow the Lord God seems absent. He's not needed. Sadly, indeed, in some cases, as Matthew Henry said, those appointed to lead us to Christ are strangers to him. Give us today our daily bread. Cry for the presence of God to be seen and heard and felt and known through our songs and hymns and prayers and sermons, through our conversations, through our manner of life, through our clear dependency on the leading of God the Holy Spirit. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Churches are companies of sinners. There's a church on the Cotswolds which has over the main door, "This man receives sinners." Churches are full of sinners. Yes, penitent sinners, forgiven sinners, people like the tax gatherer who have prayed, "God have mercy on me, a sinner," and who've turned and believed and now are determined by the grace of God to live for him in a way that pleases him, but still a company of real people who will rub one another up the wrong way, who will annoy one another from time to time, who will trip one another up, who will step on one another's toes. What hope is there for a real church? The church would be wonderful if it wasn't for the people. We know that. Let me give you an example. A lady bought some flowers in memory of her mother. She set them in the church, she arranged them as well as she was able, and she left them. Another lady came in and said, "I can arrange those rather better than that," and she did. Now, I know absolutely nothing about flower arranging, but I do realise that actually I can hardly imagine anything more offensive, and I can assure you that it was almost a duel. Flower stands at dawn. How hard it is to forgive when someone trips us up like that. But forgiveness is the mark of the true church. Are we a forgiving community? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's real. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Well, actually, churches, just as much as individuals, can be led into temptation. Shortcuts to making money by very worldly means. God is most honoured when his people give from the heart because they want to see a work of God flourish. Or tempted to win points with the world by compromising on some essential doctrine or some moral issue. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If God is at work, others will join. But you have to be careful. You have to guard your fellowship, simply because some will come in with very strong agendas who will divide and wreck a church. And again, if God is at work, then so will Satan be. To divide, to cause to murmur, to cause to gossip, to cause misunderstandings to arise between us, to cause us to be impatient with one another, and worst of all, to sow spiritual deadness in those who lead and speak and preach, spiritual deadness in the people. Lord God, help us to guard what you have entrusted to us. And Lord God, keep us openly communicating with one another, and keep us humbly praying that you would keep us from evil. But remember, it's all about God's kingdom and God's honour. It's all about proclaiming his wonderful news. It's all about making and maturing disciples, young and old. It's all about doing his will and bringing honour to him. For his alone is the kingdom and the power and the glory. God bless St. Andrews. I know that's right. But can you see, our Lord has taught us how we can do better.